Go ahead.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Yeah, I just went through the same thing almost 2 months ago. It was a fleeing situation. Well, one of the little young jit tried to jump in one of my friends' Mercedes about 2 months ago, and then they took off. And now we ended up tracking the car, getting the car back, you know, before the police got involved. So right. I ain't really want to go through all that. Then I looked at the situation totally different because, you know, my life went in danger. So I feel like I ain't had the right to shoot jit. You know, I ain't seen no gun. Yeah. You know, I went in harm's way. I went, you know, he could have ran over me. So, you know how it go.
Yeah. We're going to get into the details. What I'm going to do, I'm going to start the podcast, and then I'm going to bring you in. Hey, yo, welcome to another episode of It's Up There podcast. I am your active and attractive host for another episode of the fastest growing podcast on the market right now. You know, we talk directly to the streets. It ain't no misunderstanding on where we stand in regards to the game. You know, today I got a guy that I saw, man, on the internet, right? So, you know, as far as me and my fans and my supporters, they go to tagging me and all kind of stuff on the internet. And I ran across a video. The video said to me, that someone was cut from a certain kind of cloth. And anytime you run across somebody that's cut from a certain kind of cloth, or the cloth that you know to be the cloth that you cut from, you kind of want to get in communication and build with them people. So I saw a video of a young guy trying to steal a vehicle, you know, at a gas station in Atlanta or Georgia. I won't say Atlanta because I'm not sure, but it was Georgia. And the guy caught him in the act, right? So the guy catch him in the act. And for those of you that may be unaware, my reach is crazy, but it went viral and it was everywhere. So you should know what I'm speaking about. He caught the jit in the car, but instead of fine down on him, he spared him. And when he spared him, that spoke volumes. Not only did he spam, he pulled him to the side and kick a little game to him and pull his coattail. Because, see, the game could have been over that day. The whole situation could have took a turn for the worse for the young nigga when he had really nothing to gain. He had a car to gain that was going to be, we looking for this car, homie. Like, you don't just run out with a car, my car. It don't end there. You take my car. We looking for this car, homeboy. You know what I'm saying? So everything could have just took a turn for the worse, man. And today we're going to talk to the individual that was instrumental in giving that young nigga some game. West Side Slow, what's going on, my brother? You got to unmute. I think it muted you.
Yeah. I got you. I'm checking in right now. What's going on, my guy?
Man, not shit. What's going on with you, man? Like I was explaining to the audience, man, you know, it's a unique circumstance to be in the situation you in, and we're going to get to the car situation, but it's important for my interviews to act as an encyclopedia, right? So I need for people to know who we speaking to, where you speaking from, what you represent, what you about, where you come up from. Those things are important to why you made that decision. Oftentimes in this game, right, we look past everything that made a man what a man is. And I want to spend a little time on what even made you become the person you were. So give me some outline, or just outline who you are, where you from, things like that.
Yeah, man, my name is Westside Slope. I'm originally from Macon, Georgia. Just been through a lot, trials and tribulations, man. Just, you know, just coming from a city where I'm from, man, it's a lot of homicide, a lot of killing. You know, the colors for real where I'm from. And just growing up, you know, like I said, you know, we missed all the Chicago Bull colors and stuff, man. My school colors were blue. My neighborhood was blue. So, and they just, you know, growing up, you know, you just have a certain sense of urgency, you know, just from coming up as a jit to an adolescent and to an adult, you know what I'm saying? It's just a certain sense of urgency, you know, and it just me. I was able to complete my high schooling. I went to college. I graduated from Georgia State. I got a degree in computer science with a minor in academic programming, and right now I'm a topography engineer.
When you told me that, you see what I gave you back, blessings on that. Oftentimes, we don't celebrate that. You know, we don't celebrate niggas that, because see, you got to be able to dance in two arenas, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Too many times we run trick ponies. So I had to give it up. And I want to spend some time on that. That's important, bro.
Yeah. The diversity, man, all the time, man. You know, I always had 1 foot in, but I was still educated at the same time, you know.
Sure.
You know, just being aware of my surroundings, plus knowing where I needed to go. And a lot of things fell in place. I really didn't have no direction when I was younger, man. I had the OGs, I had my uncles, but I ain't have no direction of which way I wanted to go because I did vocational stuff. I made sure I got involved in everything. I didn't really care about the sports, but I just made sure I got involved in everything, like hands-on, you know. Aircraft sheet metal mechanics, stuff like that, get involved in welding and stuff that was going to bring me revenue at the same time. So yes, I just made sure I did. I had my hands and all type of stuff.
Right. And that's so important, bro. That's so important. So coming up as a young nigga, did you find yourself in any trouble?
Well, to get deep into it, man, you know, I went through some of the same stuff at 14, like 97, I was 14, that was my ninth grade year, right?
Right.
I actually got caught at school with a pistol my ninth grade year, the week after Christmas holidays. So I got caught at school with a pistol, didn't know I had it, and ended up beating it. But the things I had to go through at the time, I got caught with a pistol. It was a year before Columbine.
Ooh.
You know, so I actually at that time I got expelled from school. I was able to go back to school and still, you know, I had to go back to attorney school for a little while, and then I ended up going back to the same school I got caught at the guns with and graduated. So I had a chance to reset my life.
Exactly. Yeah, that second chance is important. You got a chance to do another level.
Sometimes you get that third and fourth chance.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But it ain't never too late to reset your life. So I went through that at a young age. I learned not to trust the people I was hanging around. They were still my people, they were still my cousins. But I still learned not to, you know what I'm saying, not to do too much with them, not to let them know never know what I was doing.
Right.
I kept everything to myself, man. Like even the grind of just going to summer school every year, going to night school so I can get out a year later, not 2 years later.
Right.
I supposed to came out of 01, but I ended up coming out of 02.
Okay. So fast forward to kind of what the circumstances was in that. At the gas station that day. And again, we just having a conversation. So anytime we need to jump back or jump forward to something, we can do that. There is no rules to this. It's just communication. You know what I'm saying? And information. So
absolutely.
Yes, Lord. So when you find yourself at the gas station, talk to me about that day, what was going on. So you push up on the gas station. You didn't see the little dude. Was he casing it when you rapped with him? What was he doing?
See what happened was, I pulled up, and this is what I normally hang at. I normally hang at this gas station all the time, so everybody knows me.
Right.
So I pulled up. I pulled up at the gas station. I got out the car. I went and hollered at my partner, you know, because he cooked the ribs over there, and, you know, he had all the barbecue and stuff. So I went and hollered at my dog. You know, that was my first time really getting some food from him. And I said, let me try it out. So I ended up, hey, fix me a rib plate. So I'm sitting there waiting. I got my back turned. But, you know, my sense of urgency is just always glance and look back.
Exactly.
You know, I know I got my car running, so I just glanced and looked back. And then when I looked back, I saw him walking. Saw him walking past the car. I looked back again. I saw him opening the door. From that moment, I jumped up and here I come, pistol, you know, Glock 43.
Yes,
I run that four flat. Run that four flat, baby. You know what I'm saying? I ain't playing with it.
Right up on the nigga and thought he could get out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, like I said, I still looked at it like, you know, most people would have shot him. But I looked at it like, you know, that's what we pay car insurance for.
But see, let me ask you this before you go there, because when I was watching it, and I might pull the video up and just try to figure out where your mindset was at while you were there. But when I was watching it, I saw how you strategically got in a spot in front of the car that if you hit this gas and act like, And ignore that I'm trying to really come peace treated about my shit, it might turn a look, because he could have really just and try to get out of there, you know. And so that's why people would have usually shot, is because you don't know if the little nigga got a gun, you don't know if he gonna hit you. You don't know. It's a lot of things to worry about. But you
see,
kept it
but
so
see that, but see, But see, at the time, I was Ryan Fishbowl. I just got the windows tinted. So at the time, I was Ryan Fishbowl. I was able to see him. He was fumbling. You know, he was trying to put the car in gear. He got his head down. When he looked up, he saw me with the gun on. You know, when he looked up and caught it.
It's hard to do something.
Instantly his heart dropped, you know. Heart drop, put his hands up, you know, please don't kill me. Right. Call the police.
Right.
First thing I tell GD, I say, you say, please don't kill me, call the police. I'm like, hell, the police gonna kill you.
For sure.
Nine times out of ten, police would have shot first.
For sure. Police wouldn't have gave no kind of leeway like you gave right then.
He'd have jumped in
a police car with that. Yeah, that'd have been a different outcome.
But even if the police were chasing my car, this is how I feel. Even if
they would have killed him.
My car won't even come back 100%.
My car would have came back,
tow up. They would have made Jit wreck the car. They would have
right.
You know, they would have shot Jit. You know, just now. Yeah. I'm looking at nine times out of ten.
For sure.
You know, that's what I'm looking at. That's how I feel about it. So I made sure when he told me that, I patted him down first, then I expressed that to him.
Right.
I told him, I said, man, you got heart, though. You know what I'm saying? You got heart, cause you did it by yourself.
Right.
You know, I ain't see you with a group of little dudes.
Right.
You know, or you know, y'all scoping it out, man. You by yourself. And then I thought you were with somebody else till they brought me the videotape. And I was like, man, now Jit was by itself.
Yeah, he got a little nuts to do that.
Yeah, you got a little balls to do that, man. Some grown people won't even do no gangster shit like that.
That's for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
That's for
sure.
But when you grab him out the car, he instantly go to panic and call the police. It's fucked up that when they see one of us, that's why I'm saying, man, when a nigga big home in the hood, and I tell my little homies, when you see a nigga, man, treat a nigga like a homie. Don't treat me like, you know, the police gonna do you better than I'ma do you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cause the police ain't gonna do you better than I'ma do you, homie. Like, I'ma try to least, I care for your mama, your people. Like, I know what it's like in this environment. They have no understanding on what you're going through. They have no understanding on nothing. They just want to see you dead. So when you go to rapping with him, when you expressed the contrary to him, when you said, nah, bro, I ain't doing no rat shit. This ain't about no police. I'm trying to push up on you and give you some game. Was he receptive to that, or was he scared?
He was more scared than receptive, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Because like I told you, I caught him off guard. He was still looking down, trying to put the car in gear, and then he looked up and saw it in his face. So he wasn't expecting it. That came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? But
he thought he was gone. He probably done that before and got on out, got away.
Yeah.
This time, your opponents changed, man. The circumstances changed. But he probably thought he was finna get away.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He thought it was gone.
Right.
He thought it was gone. Absolutely.
So after you rap with him, how long?
Oh, you know what I did further, I patted him down.
For sure.
I had to make sure you didn't have that thing on him. Cause like I said, I was gonna take that mine.
Exactly.
You know, I was gonna take that, but I made sure you know he was good, and we politicked for a minute, man. Anywhere between like 25 to 35, almost 40 minutes, man.
You kept it so real, gave the little nigga 40 minutes of the time.
And he felt like at the time, you know, like I said, he felt like I was still gonna do something to him.
Right.
You know, that's what he felt like. He felt like I was.
Sometimes when you catch them little boys in the wrong, and I think it goes deeper, man. I don't know if you know who Jason Wilson is. You know who that is?
No, I don't know who he is.
Jason Wilson is a black man that's doing a lot of work, right? And that's why I just reached out to him and told him you gotta come down in the ghetto, because he doing a lot of helping. He doing what you just done, but on a very large scale, right? You know what you just done was a street nigga just street politicking with the younger homie. He going in and out of these cities. Helping these kids with healing and mental health and understanding circumstances and things like that. And he speaks a lot about the young boys being raised by their mothers. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the mother, she means well, and I down the spot for my mama. But usually
they
give us things that's useless when we get what we're going.
What touched me too is now he said, man, this is how I make my money. So right then I realized,
it's some struggle involved
at home. You know what I'm saying? Right. I just took that too. You know,
right.
So
Right. Nah, that's real, man. That's real. And like I say, bro, I don't know, man. Like I say, I always look at I try to always understand things from a holistic standpoint. Like I say, when I look behind a lot of the young boys that's doing certain things, even with me, I jumped off the porch real early, been to jail and caught charges set up by CIs, all kind of shit. But what happens is my mother gave me things that was useless to me when I got into my manhood. Right, all of the emotion field reactions and things like that, I could no longer use. Right, I couldn't navigate around being a man with the things that my mother tried to equip me with, man. And that dude Wilson kind of does that in the neighborhood, man. But you know, I think when I reached out to you, I wanted to give you some flowers, man, for what you did and how you handled that, man. Did you keep in communication with the little dude, or what the little dude, you know, what's up with him?
No. I've been trying to reach out to him, man. I know a couple of people that know the area that he be in. I told him to try to get in touch with me. Right. So, you know, so hopefully in the near future, like the next week or so, man, me and him will get together, politics some more, man. If he need me to help him, I can help him out in another type of way. So I can show him a different route.
For sure. Now, do you think, did he speak to his structure at the house, or he just was like, bro, this is how I make my money. And that's kind of where he left that at.
Yeah, he pretty much left it right though. You know, that's how I make my money. So they let me know they won the first time, you know, he had on hit the leak.
Right.
You know, he probably been successful up until now.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But he needed that eye opener. You know,
I heard, and you use a good term when you say reset your life. And I heard you say on the that you know, you bumped down and pushed up on him and just was like, bro, you know, this is a chance to reset your life. Do you think he was really receptive to that, or do you think he left that thing saying, I'll get better the next time, or do you think he really felt where you were coming from?
I'm gonna be honest with you though, if I put myself in those shoes, man, a lot of things people told me, I ain't take heed to it right now. But right. it came back to me later on. I said, oh shit, you know, they're where it is.
Right.
You know, a lot of things you tell somebody, man, they don't necessarily catch on. Even grown people, they don't really catch on at the same time, you know, when you tell them. But, you know, like, if they take it in, you know, it'll come back to them.
And unfortunately, so that's man, usually pain invokes change. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, for humans, like, you can't really preach a human up on no chains. You, like, you really got to smack somebody that's disrespecting you, and then they know not to do it. Or you got to touch that stove to know it's hot. Like, certain things got to happen for you really to get it. I hope the young brother got it, man, and we send positive energy to him. But that was a mistake, man. Like, that was a mistake. You know what I'm saying? You can't, you know, especially when I'm at the store, I work hard. Like, you seem to be somebody that do your 1-2. So, like, how I'm going to let you just going to run off with my shit? Like, I know Atlanta, they playing hella games, like Georgia period. You ever been involved with niggas busting your windows, taking your car? Because it's going down there on that.
Yeah, they going down. They still in factory wheels, man. They busting your windows out, looking for book bags, anything, man. They, you know. It's just a lot going on in the city of Atlanta, man. I ain't really seen it that much, you know, like being where I'm from in Macon, but you see a lot of it up in the city, man. You don't want to park in any parking garages. Right. You don't want to have your value. You know, even when you're going shopping, you kind of like you got to go shopping and take that shit home when they come back and start shopping again, because you can't leave whatever don't fit in your trunk, man. You come out better, I'll just put it in your car, leave your doors unlocked. You know, they gonna check that too.
Man, I done seen people put a note on their window, please don't bust, ain't nothing in here. They got their glove compartment open on the push-up. When you walk up on the car, glove compartment open, this open, ain't nothing in here, home. Do not bust this one. You gotta dip out.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, like I said, man, they just trying to prevent something from happening. You know what I'm saying? They just a lot of people, man, they don't want their insurance premiums to go out. I mean, a lot of times, like, if it's not comprehensive, yeah, that's cool.
You know what, but, too, you know, bro? Speaking about them young niggas, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm hard on them in my hood. Niggas, I'm hard on them. Like, when they acting, see, because I know that even me, when I jumped off the porch and I survived, but I didn't even have the tools I needed to be doing the things I was doing. And a lot of them, I know they don't got the tools, so I don't pussyfoot around it when I'm talking to them. Little nigga, ain't that. Stay away from that. You know, and I try to give them the game, and sometimes it come off harsh.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to sometimes because everybody ain't ready for what they finna go through. They don't even know they finna go to it.
I heard Jay Prince tell a dude, you campaigning, you gonna get elected. And a lot like dude, see, you campaigning for something when you jumping in people's shit, pulling out. At some point, bro, you might get elected for presidential run, bro. And then nigga might, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I tell the little boys in my neighborhood, hey, little boy, stay away. If you looking at me and know, because I got songs with Kevin Gates and interviews with Umar and Floyd Mayweather and this and that, because I'm doing all that. If you listening to me, stay away from that. Everything that I lost come from dying that street. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? True. Don't you ever go down that street, because I luckily was able to keep a few things and walk back up this way. Some people die down there.
But the way the culture set up is sometimes the OGs will mislead the little homie.
That's why I know this what I said when he told you that. I said to myself, some old nigga telling him, bring me them cars, I'm paying you. Because he don't know what to do with no Benz when he get done with it. Nigga, when we was in the car, we joyriding and throwing it over there. He making money. He taking that to an older nigga somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. Somebody misleading them. I'm saying they weren't going to give them that for the car.
Exactly. 200, 500, 1,000, something like.
I don't even think it was going to be 500 or 1,000. They probably gave dog a little 250, man, a little 300 for that car.
Yeah, because, see, they going to downplay it, man. It's stolen. It's hot. It's dead. You know, see, they play them games in the hood, and that's a whole different conversation. The hierarchy in the hood and how the information is stuck somewhere. So if I remember when I was a young nigga getting real money in the street but had no information, I would buy half a quarter a day. Every day. I'm just braving head.
Yeah,
ain't nobody telling me.
Ain't nobody telling you about the whole thing. Cook it yourself. Well, you know how it go.
But then again, the game work like that. The hierarchy of the information in the neighborhood. If you got something, you got to go, man. I can wrap us up if you.
Yeah. I'm finna. Matter of fact, my battery like getting kind of low right now. So
okay.
We could tap in probably about 30 more minutes. Man.
We'll tap back in for about 30 minutes for 15, 20 more. Get a little more information and close it out. Just text me when your phone. Text me when your phone. Charge back up, man, and we'll lock back in.
All right, bro. I got you, bro.
All right. Look. Thank you for watching another episode of This Up There Podcast. We back from break. You know exactly what the vibrations is. If you are listening to the audio version of this podcast and you want to catch the video, you head over to FOGFO TV on YouTube. We currently are in negotiations to move our video exclusively to a platform. Those details are still undisclosed as those red lines have not been sent back our way. So we are in negotiations with that. If you looking at the video version of this and you want to listen to the audio, wherever you get podcasts at, you just type in This Up There Podcast with Looney. We should pop in. We've had interviews with Dr. Umar Johnson, Tate Keith, Band Play, Floyd Mayweather, Rico Love, and a lot of people that I'm forgetting. My apologies for the people that I'm forgetting. But again, this is where we explain the culture. You know, I got the homeboy here. We've already spoke. Of course, you guys been tuned in for the first, I think it was 15, 20 minutes that we had the conversation. And so we back, man. Westside, what's good, my brother?
Hey, man, for the lock in with you, man. I'm loving it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, we kind of have already talked about, and we're going to continue to kind of hammer it home and make sure that the people understand that the quality of the individual that was behind the sparing of the young man, in which, you know, those consequences could have been different than you gave them. So, we got to affirm each other. I've just now learned that from Jason Wilson, just affirming another black man and said, bro, what you did was a beautiful thing. What you did, that was real nigga shit, bro. You held it down. You know what I'm saying? And it's for you to hold that. It ain't a nigga ain't supposed to say that to try to, because a lot of times with us, with black men, we'll tell each other that and a nigga instantly shoot it back. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, man, I like what you're doing out there. You killing it. Oh, man, you killing it too, bro. You know, sometimes.
And then it ain't genuine.
Exactly. You need to just hold that. Nigga don't need to expect nothing in return. Nigga just need to hold that, bro. That was some real shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's enough because a lot of niggas ain't gonna let him slide like that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of niggas ain't gonna because your intentions were. I saw what your intention was. You know what I'm saying? Your intention was to take something from me and get out of here. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's rough for us, especially where we come from. We don't usually tap into them emotional side because we risk assessment. If you would take my car, you would kill me. That's, you know, those things are cousins in my opinion. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like a nigga don't really know, man. But did anybody, you know, with you sparing that young brother, did anybody spare you coming up? Did anybody give you, you know, an opportunity when you was maybe should have faced a greater consequence? Did they just gave you some game?
Man, I ain't even gonna lie to you, man. Like, the you know, just everything I went through dealing with the court system at a young age, you know, I think, you know, the troubles I talked about when I, you know, when I got caught with a gun at school, you know, a year before Columbine happened, this was like, this was the ending of 97, the beginning of 98, you know, so I got, you know, I got railroaded like that, you know, but at the same time, you know, like, I knew, you know, everybody in my family who had my back. Everybody in my family believed in me, and so that made a difference. My mom's, my grandmother, everybody, all my uncles, everybody supported me. Didn't nobody really talk negative about the situation at hand. You know, they were just like, "We're gonna get through it. Go out with them." Sure. And that's just what happened. So I mean, I went through all that. Went back to the same school, like I said, and still graduated a year later than what I was supposed to. And from that point on, man, I started looking at my friends a little different. Like, it was still my friends, you know, like just my regular friends and the people in the set, you know, and then cousins and stuff like that. So I just started looking at people totally different. Like, you know, I can chill and politic with them all day long, but I might not need to do what they do. You know what I'm saying? I need to take a different route. Now, I can hang out in the hood, with you, but I can't hang out with y'all all day. You know what I'm saying? I had other stuff going on. You know, I had a child at a young age. So I had other responsibilities that other people didn't have at a young age. So I had that kind of stuff going on.
But you know what? When it again, he lucky that a gentleman that had that level of understanding caught him, man, because it's a lot of niggas that even I know in my hood and in hoods all across the world that had them kids and it don't register. You know, all the time them kids don't register for a young nigga out there that's outside with a certain level of, you know, whether you get money or just a lot of times the young niggas ain't getting no money. They just it's just a lot of activity going on. One day they might
get.
Go ahead.
No, you good. I spoke to one of my homeboys out of Talent. You know, my homeboy Dre Nino. And the only thing I regret about the situation but not doing, I should have put some money in their pocket. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I should have put some money in the pocket. I talked to one of my OGs. Like I said, my dog showed genuine love when I was down in Tallahassee. So when me and him were talking about the situation, he was like, "Man, you should have took a jig and just put a couple $100 in their pocket."
Yeah, for sure. Just,
you know, like that would have changed. That would have also changed the narrative too. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we spared him, but then we also changed the narrative to, you know, he got to steal from everybody. You know, you could have asked one of your OGs or one of the guys that you see over here in the hood, man, if you having hard times, man, they shit, come up to us, let us know what's going on, man. Tell us what's going on. We see it sometimes.
Right.
You know, you see it on the kids sometimes when they struggling, man. If between the age of 11 and 14 and he out here stealing car, man, it's something else going on at home. So And you can't fault the parent. Yeah, look, we just went through a pandemic. You don't know what people going through.
Made a lost their job due to the mandate that's going on or anything.
Absolutely. So you know, it's a domino effect. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, but all of this stuff was contributing factors, man. Like I said, I looked at it totally different. Like I went in harm's way. You know, what I paid car insurance for, but at the same time, you know. You know, like I said, I could have shot him for 30 yards, but he let me got up on him. You know what I'm saying? And it is what it is.
Now, let me ask you this. You think he would have hit the gas while you were running to the car? Let's, because, you know, 10 seconds would have changed that. Had you been 5 or 10 seconds later on looking and actually, instead of seeing him going to the car, seeing him shut the door, and by the time you running out, he kind of getting in gear, do you think you would have fired at him, or would you would have?
Well, at the same time, I still want to fire at him. I would have fired.
You know, not knowing who it is, it's just you see your car. You know, you was a little late on the watch.
But and- you know what? People think two different ways. Like how I look at it, how somebody else view it is totally different. Anybody else would have shot their window or shot the whole car, right? Me, I would have hit the tire. I would have disabled the vehicle.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah. You know, instead of hitting the window, or looking for a headshot with my seat's white. I don't want to go through all that.
Sure.
I still got to drive that car. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I still got to keep that Benz. You know what I'm saying?
Yo.
You know, I don't, look. Then when something happens to somebody, man, you clean it up yourself.
Yeah, I know that. For sure.
You know what I'm saying? You clean it up yourself, man. Meet people that ain't never had nobody die in front of them.
They don't
or die in their house, man. You clean that blood up yourself.
Yes, Lord.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I would
call from the inbound with their blood still all in it and shit. They don't got nothing.
Still all in it. 30 days later, that blood is still in there. You probably wouldn't even got your car back the same day. You know, they're keeping it G. And so, then, I would have tried to, you know, disable my vehicle, hit the tire or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's sad that there was a kid, man. You know, I hate to see a kid put themselves in a grown man situation like that. But sometimes the circumstances in the hood, like we say, the lack of resources or, you know, the mama not being able to be as influential in him eating and shit. Niggas is sometimes people can't get a meal, man. It's shit rough, man.
Yeah, I mean, and Jeff, from looking at Jit, man, Jit looked like he was going through it, man. Jit looked like he needed some water. Jit looked like he needed some food, man. You know, you can see the desperation on his face. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needed this to work. He needed this one play to work. It looked like it. You know what I'm saying? Body language tell a lot. Your physical appearance tell a lot, man. It's a lot. You know, everything will contribute to factors, man. I'm just glad that he surrendered and got out the car.
And I'm
glad he went with a group of people, because like I said, it would have turned out totally different, you know. That's just what it is.
Let me ask you this: with you being caught with a gun in school, what's your feelings on what's going on in Texas? You familiar with that? The school shooting that happened where the bullying was going on, and what's your feeling on that? I mean, you know. I really don't know how to feel about it. What's your feeling on it?
You know, that situation right there was totally different from my situation. My situation, like, it wasn't no bullying. You know, it wasn't no bullying. You know, I'm carrying a pistol for protection.
Right.
I'm carrying a pistol because every day they ride down, every day rival gangs ride down Lincoln Street and they shoot my school up. You know, we only had two Campbell police officers. We might have had one and then maybe an assistant.
Maybe pussy.
You know, you know what I'm saying? So you know, every day I'm walking home from school until I'm able to drive. So I'm walking home, but they shooting it up 30 minutes straight. You know, and the firearm was for protection. It wasn't for bullying. Now that's totally different. Bullying, where I'm from, you know, you just had to deal with it. You had to fight your way out of it.
I'm more so not talking about the bullying. I'm more so talking about just being caught with the firearm. You know, because there was some pushback with him getting out of jail and them doing a welcome home party. So white America took that as a slap in the face. Right. Because school shootings. See, and yours is totally different because it didn't turn out to be a school shooting. But with you being in a situation to be caught with a firearm at on campus, it's like it just made me think about, damn, look what's going on in Texas. Now, again, white people push back on the welcome home party. You know, I don't know how to feel about that. Now, they also had some come out today where the chief of police said that he has no evidence of bullying taking place. Saying they trying to kind of mask it under bullying. What do you with children, right? Because they face a whole bunch of stuff. Sometimes them stealing and being in circumstances that they are with you is because of the bullying that comes from, man, them dirty ass shoes. Man, look at the little nigga shirt. Boy, the boy's shirt got holes in it. So now they risking everything to try to, and I can't keep wearing this shirt. They tearing my mouth out at school. You know what I'm saying? So do you think those two things are cousins? Do you think anybody is justified?
Oh,
better question.
Oh yeah, I mean, oh yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, like the you mean your clothes do play a contributing factor on you getting bullied at school,
right?
You know, I didn't have to go through that. You know, I remember being in elementary school and the joints dropping through the weekday, right? I didn't really realize how much of a sneakerhead my mama was. My mama used to come up to the school, elementary school, and bring the joints up to the school, right? Have me put them on and walk me back in the classroom in front of everybody.
Me too.
So I didn't get it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so I ain't get it.
That's crazy. You saying that, bro? My mama done the same thing.
That's crazy.
Crazy, bro. Go ahead, my bad, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy. And to this day, my mama was 63. Yeah, my mom's 63. So to this day, like, my mom's still a sneakerhead. Like, to this day, like, my mama got off-white Forces and stuff like that. To this day, man, I still remember, like, my mom used to iron my clothes for the whole week. So it wasn't that. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that. Yeah, it wasn't that. You know, we kept that shit on.
Right,
you
right.
You know, and so the bullying part of, you know, like, shit, I mean, I got, you know, I mean, I felt like I would be a drill.
Right.
You know, my mom ironed my clothes for the whole week, put them on the door. I knew what I was wearing.
Right, right. Me too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we got to really give it up for mamas like that, though. Like, my mama keep it all way gangster. She really, I was really cleaner than my mama. Really, nigga, I was cleaner than everybody. School, she was making show look. But the fucked up thing was, I was still in the projects.
Yeah, we were too. We were too.
Yeah, see, that's the only thing. I was still in them bricks, but mama was making show, you know, that when I represent her, I'm on all time high time. Yeah, I'm looking like every time. Now, let me ask you this too now, because I don't want to skip over that, because, you know, the experience for black boys going to school and white boys going to school are totally different. I want to speak about, because we had some. I went to a school in my city called Stratford High School. I think it's ranked the worst school in Tennessee, right? Or what was when I was there. You said that, you know, the reason you proceeded to take the firearm to school with you is because there was a situation where, you know, dudes were shooting at y'all at the school, you know, rival gangs or turf wars or whatever the situation was. There was some static at the school in which life could be lost. And so you wanted to prepare yourself for that.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you what happened for me. So we in a middle school, actually, at East Middle School. Shout out to everybody from the bricks at East that went with me to East. We at East Middle School, grown men creeping into the school. I'm talking about adults, not 18, 19. We talking 21s, 22. They creeping into the school because it's beef going on, it's fights, and they might be the big homie of these little homies that's in here. Was a weird thing. But to see a grown man walk your hallways looking for problems, he ready to jump in fights, whatever the situation is, he grown. Bigger than that, they had a rumor going around. Because the starter coach, the pullover coach was a big thing then, where you will pull over the starter coach with just the little zipper right there. They will be saying that the niggas is taking Jordans and starter coats. So if you walk to school and they start grabbing niggas, 15 years old, get out the car with the strap. Come on with your coat, nigga, your shoe. So, imagine.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Let's just speak about that, because white folk don't go through that. White folk don't. Ain't no, the worst they might get somebody offering them cigarettes or drugs or something. But we talking about violence.
At an early age, man, we went through that in high school, man. You know, big homies coming up to the school because, you know, they like I said, some of their little homies, that's their big homies. So they coming up to the school, you know what I'm saying, to make sure everybody's straight.
Get active. But see,
you had to go out of every hall to get to another hall in my high school. Exactly. So, I mean, everything was out in the open. So they couldn't protect us. Man, I had to protect myself,
exactly.
You know, and that's just how it go, you know what I'm saying? But, man, like I said, the white community don't get a chance to experience that type of stuff. But but at the same time, I ain't gonna just necessarily say the white community. It was a lot of whites went to school with us, and they were cool.
Right.
You know, it wasn't no racism.
Right.
I didn't see any racism going up, like, far as like at my high school or at my middle school. Like, we all was one.
I didn't fund the students. I didn't, you know, the students, the body of students, white, black, whatever, because I went to a ghetto school and we all ghetto. We different colors, but we all from the ghetto. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Standpoint. Absolutely. It was more blacks than whites, but at the same time, we all came from, you know, from where we came from. And that's why we all hung out and got along. But like I said, that gang shit was heavy. And, man, like I said, you had grown men walking through the hall sometime at one point in time, man. And, man, like I said, when you go to a high school or elementary school, and majority of the minority that's in that high school is white, they don't get a chance to experience that type of stuff. Like, the most they might get is offer some cigarettes or a pill or something like that of that nature. You know what I'm saying? So they don't get a chance to,
they don't
deal with that violence.
And then what happens is, consequently, right, which is important, and I think white folks or middle America, I'll say that, because when I say white folks, I don't want to lump the folks that's from the ghetto in with that, because the ghetto is the ghetto. But the middle America white people, they don't understand that being 14, worried about the shoes your mother bought you being took from you and having to defend that from a grown man lends itself to a certain mindset. So when you deal with me at 20 and I'm no nonsense, so I'm, you know, paranoid and things like that, I'm aggressive and things like that, they take that as just me being a criminal, when in fact that can be a reflection of what it took for me to survive.
Man, you know what I remember too? I remember still being so crazy to the point where, like, now we got out of school at 2:15, 2:30, right? So I remember I had to make conscious decisions whether I'm gonna play sports, stay out of school late, walk home solo, or I'm gonna walk with the crowd.
Right.
I would have rather walk with the crowd because it was safer.
Exactly. Can't even play sports. Now, white boy don't never know what that's like. Not white boy. Middle America white people don't never know what that's like. And that's why I try to always tell middle America people is, y'all only experience with us is with, you know, you watch Power on Ghosts, or you watch Ghosts, or you watch something like that. So you don't understand that it's very complex on why we think the way we do. That's why I wanted to reach out to you and talk to you, is because I know a man that spouse somebody that intended to hurt them had to have a certain level of understanding within itself. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I had to have that, you know. But like I said, that's all contributing factors for what everything I done been through as a kid, all the way up through my adolescent years to becoming a man. Right. You know, that's everything. You know, anybody else would have made the wrong move. Anybody else would have, like I said, would have shot the car up or hit an innocent bystander. And the way I feel right now with the judicial system and stuff, I feel like if I would have killed him, it would have turned back around on me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you never know.
Nah, I think it would have backfired.
You never know. Like, I probably would have been free that night. And then, you know, here come the county coming back to you 2 weeks later, you know.
Let me ask you this. I forgot what the fuck I was just finna. Oh, let's talk about going viral. Cause you definitely went platinum on the internet.
Yeah, I see that. But you know, like,
did you feel
I felt it with my followers, and then I'm feeling it with my DMs and stuff. But as a you know, just being where I'm from, I'm used to that.
Right.
Yeah, being where I'm from, when you're known to put that shit on, and you know, being where I'm from, and you know, like it's normality. But that, yeah. Far as that, but I'm not used to it. Far as like it being all over the world.
But you know what? It's so cool that you deal with a nigga, right? When you in this situation and you go viral for doing some real nigga shit, so many people will break their neck to go viral, jump off crates, you know, set their cell phone fire, you know, just all kind of shit to go viral. But once you stand in your truth, let this be another lesson to the young nigga. You don't have to always be viral because, you know, you smacked the teacher or you went and grabbed somebody and DDT'd them when they wasn't looking and this and that. Or I seen a nigga kick the police off the crates.
That's crazy.
that kind of shit trying to go viral, but you end up going viral for doing some real nigga shit. Ain't but a few of them.
You know what, though, to be honest, and then talk about the police situation too. Like, to be honest, I ain't never had no problems with no cop. Right. I ain't never had no problems with no cop. Not from my city, not from Macon, not from nowhere, man. Like,
not Atlanta and probably Macon, maybe Savannah, I'm not sure. But they say Georgia got some racism going on down there, some of them hick paws now.
Yeah, but I ain't never experienced it though. You know what I'm saying? I only got pulled over a couple of times, man, I remember this one time I got pulled over. I don't even remember the officer now. I got pulled over and I had just left my neighborhood. Now here I am, I'm in a Crip neighborhood, but I got on all red.
Yeah.
Just on some OG shit, just chilling.
Right.
And so I pull off in my truck and they get right behind me and pull me over. When they pulled me over, they were trying to figure out who I am. They wanted to know, like, why this guy got on all these red and ain't nobody bothering, ain't nobody missing.
Right.
So then he smelled marijuana in my car. You know, at the time, I told him, one of my cousins probably had fired up a blunt, about 30 minutes prior to me getting to the store or whatever.
Right.
And I told him, I said, I don't smoke. He said, you mind if I search your car? I said, go ahead. You know what I'm saying? You got any weapons in the car? I'm like, hell yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? And I had one of my partners who was a convicted felon. He was in the car with me. They went ahead and detained him. And they asked me, you know, I remember them asking me, they said, well, hell, if you're carrying a Glock, you ain't got no business with no High Point. We know that High Point ain't yours. They just automatically thought it was my partner.
What?
I'm telling you what they told me. Now. So they said, well, you know, we know the High Point here is that if you're carrying a Glock, a gun of this caliber, you shouldn't be carrying a High Point.
Right, because it's a...
So I automatically tell them, I said, you know what? I said, the gun ain't stolen, right? He said, yeah, you're right. I said, well, put it back in the car. He said, well, he can't ride with you. He got to walk home. I said, I'm cool with that. He can walk home.
Right.
And they let me went on about my business. And then that's when the sergeant pulled up. He said, man, I pulled this guy over a few months ago over there around Christmas time. And he said, man, something about this guy. He said, every time I pull him over, his car's always in his name, his insurance in his name. He said, man, he's a good guy. And then from that point on, I made a bun. I was cool with those cops. You know, they used to see me there wave. I'm one of the good guys. You know what I'm saying? You know, like it wasn't never no more issue. They'll speak and keep it moving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, like I said, and then, you know, I had another incident where I got pulled over in Florida. And then with the highway patrolman pulled me over, man, I probably had been on the road probably 7 or 8 hours driving. And I got pulled over and didn't even know my license was suspended. So he automatically, you know what I'm saying? He just said, man, let's pull over and have a cup of coffee, man, so you can wake up. I know your license is suspended, man. You claim, you know, you didn't know nothing about it. So I'm going to take your word for it. So I'm going to give you the ticket.
Yeah.
So he gave me the ticket. We pulled over, had a cup of coffee, asked me where I was going. And, you know, he pretty much made sure I was straight. You know what I'm saying? Like, make sure I was alert before I left. And he told me to be safe. Like, no, those are the type of things like people don't get a chance to talk about. Like when it comes,
yeah. And you know, it's important for us to put both sides out because you know it's flooded with the other side, but I think it's flooded for good reason. The reason I think it's flooded on the other side, meaning people are examining and magnifying the fact that police are doing things that's unwarranted, is because even with NBA Youngboy, like what we're watching right now, we see, well, if anybody's familiar with his case, they have an officer in his case that his lawyers are alleging that these officers are lying and they're playing to the system, right? So they know kind of what the parameters are of the law and they kind of dance right there on the line of it, right? Like he said, they pulled up, grabbed NBA Youngboy. Out of everybody, now it's 40 people. Officer grabbed NBA Youngboy, but did act like he didn't know who NBA Youngboy was. Now, the reason he does that, see, on the surface, that don't look like nothing. When you just say, oh, give me your ID, and NBA Youngboy, like, yo, you know who I am. You came and got me out from everybody in this crowd. He's like, I don't know you, bro. Give me your ID. The reason he's doing that, he's playing to the camera and he's playing to the case, right? So,
absolutely.
He want to act like that there's no malice or no, you know, I don't have any preordained thoughts about this guy. You know, I'm just doing my job type thing when he know that did not be the case. But
yeah, he did that with ill intent.
Exactly. Now, this is where the problem comes in. That it ain't necessarily the officers, because all the officers are not bad. It's the ability for them to be able to stretch that law when they get ready. Like, I got a partner, Calvin Bryant, he did 17 years on his first drug offense because he was the head, allegedly, the head of the GDs in the city, and he wouldn't flip. So they had him meet a confidential informant 2 times and sold this dude some X pills 2x and gave him 17 years at 100%.
That's crazy.
He shouldn't even be allowed to do those kind of things. And I think that's the reason why they magnifying that. But I also do think we do need to speak about good interactions that we have as well to shed light on. Listen, it ain't necessarily the person. It's the system surrounding them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then you got to know how to talk to people, too. Like I say, you know, they go for, you know, off the clock and on the clock, you know. And I speak on the clock because, you know, I have to deal with the same things at work. You know, you got to necessarily sometimes when you give respect, you don't always get it back. But I still make sure I give the same respect that I expect to get, right, even though I might not get it all the time. And right, it's the same way on the street. You know, I speak legible. You know what I'm saying? I talk clear, you right, know, you know, and
that'd help a lot. We don't speak about that a lot. That being able to talk legible. I've saw niggas with their life on the line in front of that courtroom, still hollering, man, you know what I'm saying? What's up? You know what I'm saying? With their life on the line. So
absolutely. Absolutely. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to, right, they don't know how to speak good grammar. Right. You know, like subject-verb agreement might be out. You know what I'm saying? And we don't talk about it. You know what I'm saying? You know, but you got to, that's when you got to be educated.
Right.
And these are the reasons they send us to school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and when somebody pull you over, I got to know how to talk to this man.
Right. And a lot of this finesse, like you're able to have a certain level of finesse about you and a certain level of, you know, cool and swag about a nigga. These niggas is tripping over their own feet and all that, but they got some money, but they kind of corny and they don't know nothing. They ain't well put together. They just got a few dollars. They in trouble when they run into anybody that's expecting communication from them.
Anybody, man. I'm pretty sure you see that all the time with some of these interviews too. I'm pretty sure you see it, but hey, you know how it go.
Yeah, it's sad. And I gotta be like, all right, we can, you know, I gotta talk 4 hours to get an hour worth shit from a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Because you sometimes they don't got nothing to say. You know,
hey, they're deep, man. They're deep. But they, like I said, man, that's where you gotta be educated at, man. You gotta be educated, man. That come first.
Now but like I was saying with NBA YoungBoy, man, that's like one of the current events. Pooh Shiesty, you know his situation down there. I think he's
I don't lie. They doing that situation too. They bringing up stuff from his past as an early adolescent. You know, stuff that should have been sealed. I feel like once you get if you do something at the age of 12, 11, 13, like the stuff I went through, you know, hell, that kind of stuff's supposed to be sealed when you turn 18.
So
shouldn't even be able to pick that back up.
Right. And it's just like this. Say it would have went the other way. God, thank you. It didn't go the other way. But let's say, just for the sake of teaching the kids and the babies that's watching or the people that's watching, it went the other way and some shots were let out. Someone was hurt. And then you went to court and they tried to use that. You got caught with a gun in 97.
But let go back. Like you said, let's change the scenario. So say for instance, in 97, 98, when I got caught with this pistol at school, had my record not been sealed, then that would have been on my criminal record. I wouldn't even be able to possess a pistol. Ooh. So therefore, ooh, I would have been wrong off top. So here I am, committing a crime in the commission of a felony. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of people, it's people out there that don't even have misdemeanors or don't even have felonies, but at the same time, you know, they might be committing a felony and a crime in the commission of a felony.
Exactly.
You know, and they'll hit you with that all the time.
Yes, Lord.
All the time. I see it all the time. So that happened to me, and I didn't get a chance to reset my life, which the seal part of was a part of resetting my life. Right. If I didn't get a chance to reset my life at that point, at the age of 14 and 15, and still come back to school and graduate on time. I mean, just imagine, like I'm sitting back now as an adult, I'm thinking about, you know what? A lot of these teachers I went to school with, they didn't know what happened to me. They didn't know the outcome of my case. Just know that this child that got caught with this gun was back at my school.
Right.
They didn't treat me no different.
That's deep. That's deep.
Teachers didn't treat me no different. They weren't scared of me. They didn't treat me no different.
Yeah.
So when I see them now and I'm older, I hug them.
Yeah, that means something.
That means something to me.
Yeah, they embraced you. Or even if they didn't necessarily embrace you, they didn't reject you. And that's
didn't reject me.
In this time of day, first thing you do, you get rejected. You know what I'm saying? And that could be why you embraced the young nigga. Because when you went back to school, you didn't feel that rejection. You know, not at all.
I didn't feel it from my peers. I didn't feel it from my teachers. I didn't feel it from the coaches. I didn't feel it at all. I really went back to school like on some being a black shit, on some clean slate. Like it wasn't even there.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know what I tell the young dudes now, you know, being smart is cool. I tell them, man, I smother myself in information. I spent a lot of time, you know, bumping my head against the wall, thinking I'm showing people I'm tough. You know what I'm saying? But I'm hurting myself, you know, going to jail, catching cases, all kind of shit going on that shouldn't be going on, that's unwarranted, you know, pushing up on shit that shouldn't be, you know, just doing things that think
I'm... You're right about that. You know, like a lot of people, we educate ourselves through the schooling. We also educate ourselves by the mistakes that we make. And me personally, you know, I educated myself by the mistakes other people made around me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And all three of those are contributing factors of the person that make me the person who I am today.
Right.
You know, and that's just how I go.
I learned a lot from the niggas around me. A lot of my homeboys went fed, man, and they went fed. It changed a lot for me because it kind of pulled a rug from up under me, right? It's like because at that time in my life, I was in the street, but I wasn't structured enough. They were structured, so they kind of kept me in a situation and I was still 15 then, but they kept me in a situation where I had a constant person to call whenever I need to get straight. See, that's a luxury that the man that gotta kill what he eat, he a different man. So when they went to jail, it turned me into a fisherman. I had to be like, oh shit, now my mindset gotta change, cause I don't have this safe line no more. I gotta worry about police now robbing. I gotta worry about, is the shit even any good? Nigga buy some shit, it get somewhere and it ain't no good. You know, that's back when niggas were pressing shit and it was just shit.
Real on the outside, shit rag on the inside, but
yeah. And so for me, it was like, and then I was, you know, be in the middle of shit that was a lot of money. And you know, that would create anxiety for me because if they decide to give something that ain't no good, I'm in the middle of this whole shebang, and I was doing all that to prove the other motherfuckers that I'm tougher than you, and it meant nothing. So I tell the kids, bro, focus on a goal, focus on a dream, focus on a trade, focus on something that's going to be productive and not being outside showing niggas you tough.
You know what's so crazy though, man? A lot of these dudes don't understand, man. You can't make no money going to war.
For sure.
You can't make no money and be at war at the same time, man. That shit crazy.
Ain't gonna happen.
It ain't gonna happen. And I see that all the time.
Right.
I see it all the time, man. You know, I try to avoid stuff like that. I see that all the time. I try to avoid that at a young age. You know, I learned that at a young age, man. It was so crazy just by seeing like how stuff could have slowed down when you trying to get money. Like me, I looked at stuff. All I wanted was $300 a day as a child.
Yeah,
that's all I wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I ain't finna, you know. Hey, I had my uncles, my OG, my uncle though, man. You know, my uncle Big Tony, you know, AD, all them boys, though, man. I ain't finna run myself hot. Man, I made me $300. I'm going about my business, man. That's it. I'm closed shop. Y'all can have all that. I ain't got to be out here all night. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
all them nigga.
Man, listen, here, man. What was so play about it is, you know, you got to outsmart these cops, man. Some of the old tricks still work, man. We can cut a tennis ball and put $300 for rocks in the tennis ball and put the tennis ball inside the bike. When the police walk up on you, you don't even flinch.
Nah,
I ain't worried about that.
No, you ain't
worried about that. I ain't worried about that. Pat me down, bitch. I'm good. Heck of my ID.
Cooperation. Yeah. Ain't nothing going on.
Ain't nothing going on.
Yeah. Ain't no need to get the dogs involved.
Yeah, yeah. Big dog in the city. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Man, let me ask you this, bro, because again, just talking about going viral, did you feel a lot of love from just around the world? Was niggas just tagging you like, man, that was real, bro?
Yeah, man, it really didn't hit me till I seen like DL Hughley, Willie D from the Ghetto Boy,
right?
Man, a couple more people, Angela Yee, she reposted it on Facebook,
right?
I had people telling me Nicki Minaj, you know, said something about it,
right.
Man, like I said, Joe Budden gave me a round of applause, you know what I'm saying, and like I said, it's just deep, man. Steve Harvey and the team reached out to me. And it's just, you know, like I said, it's deep, you know. So
Yeah. I be, cause you know, man, with that going viral, it's a special thing, you know, in the world when you go viral, it's like catching lightning in a bottle. It's an opportunity right then to, and what made it so player is that you wasn't selling nothing, you didn't pivot in the, I'm rapping now. None of that. Most, I'm telling you, bro, the going viral thing is a disease. Once a nigga go viral, he change his whole get down. He don't go to work no more. He clowning. This nigga crazy because he went viral.
Hey, man, I still got to go to work, man.
Well, I'm trying to tell you, we grown, though.
Hey, bro, big child sport over here, man. Them kids got to eat, you know. Kids got to eat, baby.
For sure. Yeah. But I'm telling you, man, it was just good to see it. Then, like I say, you didn't go to now. If you were hurting or you wanted to make some money, you could pivot into doing some shirts for sale, this, that, you know, doing shit like that. That's what most people, you know, try to do. But it was just good and refreshing to see that was just who you was at your core. This wasn't about no camera. This wasn't really about no nigga trying to get famous. Man, this just really happened, and this is who I was.
Yeah, it was a genuine situation, man. Too many people go viral genuine. You know what I'm saying?
Right, that's why.
Eventually we might get some merch out there, but it ain't gonna be nothing for sale. It's just gonna be something to give back. You know what I'm saying?
And then if you do it for sale, just make sure the money going to the hood, even if it's your hood. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Going to the hood, like, but I got this for sale because I got to do something with this notoriety associated with what's going on, you know what I'm saying? So you don't have to profit from it yourself, but yo, them resources can be for a bike drive in 2 months or a Christmas drive, or you know what I'm saying, whatever the case.
Yeah, and I love to do that for the hood, man. I need to do that for the hood. So we probably get together and do some things, man.
Let's put that together, man. Let's put that together. I appreciate you stopping by. Anything you want to leave the people with?
Man, it been all genuine, man. I love the support I'm getting from everybody. And man, we just gonna keep this going, man. We just gotta reset your life, man. Let's make good conscious decisions, man. Whatever you're doing, whether it's in the streets or out the streets, or whether it's at the work or just in your life with your marriage, anything you got going on with your lady, your significant other, man. Let's just make some good conscious decisions, man.
Sure.
That's just how it go.
Show
especially
for sure.
Especially with these kids and bringing these kids up, man. We got the right thing.
For sure. So. Show for sure, man. Listen, we appreciate you. You know, we locked in. You got my number. Anything you need, we're going to be in touch, man. We're going to put some shit together. I appreciate you for stopping by, man. It's Up There Podcast. Y'all subscribe, share. Make sure you get this shit out there to the people, man. It's real shit going on. It's Up There Podcast, where the culture is explained that. The biggest one.
Pick that up. West Side Slope.
Yes, Lord. All right, homie.
All right.